I like to give people a lot of hope, because why are you seeing your chart? Why are you getting the help of the Jyotishi? Because there's hope, because we are changing beings. And like, most Jyotishis should also be looking at a chart of the moment when the person comes to you to kind of understand what has changed in their life. Because I've seen charts of a lot of people over the age of 60, and so much has changed in their life. And maybe their chart looks like a disaster, but they have been, that's been the invitation for them to do the work. And they've done a lot of it. And those things that you see there don't affect them in the same way anymore, because they've really worked on it. So I think it's important to remember that there's always remedies. If you have a desire deep within you to build a successful business, but you have some affliction of the seventh house, work with it.
This is Cosmic Cocktails, a colorful space where we mix and match Ayurveda, Vedic astrology, and dream yoga to test how we can best navigate through all tastes of life. Even the bitter, from sacred mantras and saturnal remedies to planetary outfits and karmic breakups.
Pay close attention. Today in our studio, we have Paula Crossfield, who we have been following for quite some time, who helps spiritual entrepreneurs build their business by looking at their Vedic chart, and not just helping them, but by actually helping them create a 5, even 6-figure dollar business. So that got us very excited and very interested to hear, what does Paula look at in a chart? What information can we find there? And does she also maybe have tips for us in our compatibility and our business to thrive even further?
Yeah. Because sometimes it's not just only about, you know, hanging in the daily grind and following the daily doings and hoping for some good luck and maybe a lot of money to come your way. But you can actually use the information in your chart, looking at the specific houses and signs to see what is your career, what is your business, what are you meant to do, are you meant to make big money or not, what is your dharma, so your purpose in this life. So there's so much to see in one chart. Some zodiac signs are really made by nature or more motivated than others to have a big career, so it's super interesting to see the differences. And yeah, it's having your own blueprint of your career to see if you're doing well,
in which direction you should go.
I mean, the career house is one of the main pillars of Vedic astrology. We have the four big houses, and career is definitely one of them. What are you doing? What are you going into? With what are you going into this world? So that's what we're going to talk about with Paula, coming from a personal curiosity, and now we're taking it out for you to understand and tickle your curiosity as well, and hopefully give you some hope and remedies
to build that 6-figure business, yeah. Right?
So welcome, Paula. Thank you so much for being here in our studio. And the cat is also walking by, I see.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you. We've been following you over quite a while now, always reading your newsletters and all the planetary updates and social media.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it really helps us a lot in navigating through the, you know, the planetary situations and the updates and
I'm so glad.
Yeah. So today we wanted to talk about astrology and business.
Awesome. It's my favorite topics.
Exactly. That was very clear. And it's also, I think, something that for a lot of people is very interesting nowadays. Also now COVID changed a lot for people. So the working situation and how we navigate through this life. So we would like to talk about that with you today.
Sure.
Yeah. And actually, the first question is to share something about your journey for our listeners too, how you got into Jyotish and what inspired you also to combine it with your business, or actually making it your business.
Yeah. So it came to me in a moment when I was in dramatic change. I was going through a divorce, And I lived in New York City. I was into going to yoga, but because it made me feel good, you know, I was more interested in like looking good. And my life kind of fell apart. And I was searching for answers. I was searching to understand myself and what had gone wrong in my relationship and how I could do better and, you know, call in the partner that would be able to show up and, you know, do all the things that we love, you know, our partners to do. So I went to a friend and they said, you should talk to this astrologer. And I really hadn't thought that much about astrology. I thought, you know, sun signs in the paper, like it's 1 in 12. I'm just not that interested in that, but I was looking for answers. And so this person was a Vedic astrologer. And as you know, it's very different from Western astrology. It's very precise. And I know that now, but at the time, he just shared things with me that I had never told anybody about me. And it just shot me down this rabbit hole, like so quickly, where I was completely obsessed. I was like, well, I don't know what this is, but I am going to pursue this until I breathe my last breath. I just knew that.
We know the feeling.
So basically, you know, up until that point, I'd been working at NPR and America's National Public Radio. I have been a journalist, editor. I'd started a nonprofit for investigative reporting on food and agriculture issues. So I worked, you know, in this activist kind of world around food. But I had all this experience with like social media and marketing and grant writing. And so I kind of was like trying to run away from that and try to do a more, you know, aligned career, whatever that means, because I was feeling burned out. And the first thing I did was I just kind of left and went to India and lived very frugally and studied Jyotish, studied Ayurveda, got Ayurvedic treatments, meditated. You know, I was just doing that for like 4 years and traveling with my main teacher, Dr. Robert Svoboda, who I met in this time period, who's also a Jyotishi. And we were reading charts together.
How did you meet the two of you meet? Like, when was that moment?
We met in Karnataka, like right as I was signing my divorce papers. I left and went to India for a month to avoid Christmas and my family. And I just wanted to like be alone. And I went and had Ayurvedic treatments. I ended up meeting him. It was kind of fortuitous because I didn't know. Somebody handed me his book, Prakriti, the day before. I read the whole thing and I was like, oh, this is so amazing. Like, I didn't know that much about Ayurveda. And then the couple who had loaned it to me were talking at dinner. And then it turns out that he was sitting right next to me, the author of the book. And so it was, I was like, okay. And he's from Texas. I'm from Oklahoma. So for those who are listening who don't know their geography very well, they're very close together in America. And there's a lot of similarities in the way it feels there. Also, he had gone to high school and college in Oklahoma. So we kind of switched into the local dialect of those areas and were playing cards. And I was like, wow, I ran away from my family and here I am with my family. That's what it felt like. So, wow. So I was trying to get away from doing all that marketing stuff. I was like, okay, I either need to like really level up on this stuff, or I want to do astrology full time, you know, just focus on this. Right. And so what happened was I quit my job and Dr. Svoboda was like, you know, I was just saying to him, you should have a better website. Your book should be on audiobooks. You should have a YouTube channel. You know, you should really have a Facebook presence and an Instagram presence. Cause if you don't, someone else could imitate you. And he was like, what? No, could you write this all down for me? And I did. And he was like, I'll pay you for the document that you write. And then when I wrote it, he said, will you just do this for me and I'll pay you? And I was like, oh man, I'm marketing, but it's or something I want to be marketing. So, you know, it took me a while to realize, like initially I was just doing general readings, which was great. I'd done a lot of readings for free and then I started charging, which I think is important, you know, to really read a lot of charts. That's what I would say to anybody who wants to learn astrology. You got to read a lot of charts because then you start to see patterns. It starts to get embedded in your body. Like it becomes more second nature.
Yeah.
So that was an important part of my journey, but something clicked in me when I realized that I could combine these two things because I was kind of giving people advice already and they were going off and making money with it. And then of course I was helping build Dr. Sabota's business and he was making money. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm good at this. I think I'm good at like understanding the strategy behind business. You know, I grew up with two entrepreneurial parents and like, it's part of my dharma to kind of share the business side of things. And then also to bring in the astrology so that people understand the timing and, you know, there's zone of genius and things like that.
Nice. And wow. Can you then also see that in your chart when you look back, like the moment that you met Dr. Robert Sobota, because it's like a big moment, right? And also like the alignment of your career, what you are doing now.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're in the period of your ruling planet, so for me, that's the sun, I'm a Leo rising. The ruling planet wants to give you something, you know, and I was in the period of my ruling planet and the secondary period of Venus, and Venus is well-placed in my chart. And so there's this way that, you know, if I look back, I wouldn't have been able to predict even now, because it's looking at your own chart is hard. You know what I mean? But like, because I was in that period, I think it like fructified something that, you know, there was a major change. Like my sun is in Mula as well. So if you know nakshatras, it's ruled by Nariti, which is the destroyer, right? So she burnt me to ashes and then she presented me with this amazing thing at the same time. You know, so that's how I would answer that question, is just, you know, it's the gift of my ruling planet.
Wow. Yeah.
So we would like to know, like, from the birth chart, when you look at business and career opportunities, and wealth is also a big topic in your study groups and readings, like, how can you figure that out in a chart? Like, how can astrology help you with this?
So with career, we're looking at the 10th house. We're also looking at the first house. So how strong is the first house and the first lord? Is it afflicted, right? That's first. And then the 10th house is how we are in the world. It's the highest point in the sky. It's how we shine out in the world. And so you can kind of see from those two things if someone will have a career that brings them into the spotlight or, you know, makes them a leader, for example. And you know, if we're talking about entrepreneurs versus working for someone else, we're talking about the 7th house. So these are the kinds of considerations, how it's placed. When it comes to wealth, we're looking at the 2nd house, which is earned income and being able to save. And then we're looking at the 11th house, which is an ability to earn. It also relates to community. So if we're looking at entrepreneurs, if they have a strong 7th and a strong 11th, then they're most likely going to do really well at their entrepreneurial endeavor. They'll probably make good money, make good connections in the world. You know, when somebody has some strong planets on that 5-11 axis, it really helps, because the 5th house is about creative energy. It's about investments. And then the 11th is about your connections in the world and surprises, like surprise money, awards, things like that. So you see that a lot with, like, so for example, Billie Eilish, if you know who that is, the singer, she won all these Grammys. And of course I was like, I want to see what her chart is. Like, she has incredible planets in the 5th and the 11th and the nodes are there, but she also has a Parivartna there. So there's something about it being like fructifying, and quickly she rose to, you know, winning like 8 Grammys on her first album,
right?
You know, so that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. Because sometimes, you know, instant success or fame or wealth is not for everyone. So even though we might desire that, and it's very, you know, in this time and age, we would love that, or many people would love that. Maybe your chart says something completely different.
Oh, it's possible. You know, I think most people who have instant success aren't looking for a Jyotishi. You know, they don't feel like they need one. So, yeah, I think it's like you look at a chart to see what somebody is adhikara for, like what they're meant to do in the world. So what is their dharma? Right. And then you look at a chart for timing. Is it going to fructify in an important period of life? Like, somebody may go through their 10th lord major period when they're like 1 to 5 years old. That's not super helpful. Like, it would be better you have the 10th Lord activated when you're like 20 to 40, right?
Yeah.
So these are important considerations to kind of think about, you know, will it come to fruition? And are they made to do a certain thing? And usually we know what we're made to do. Like, you said something about the chart saying something completely different than what you're actually doing. Usually when there's something inherent that we know inside of ourselves that we feel called to do. Like, I can even think back, even though I wouldn't have considered myself spiritual, I did like crave to be connected to something. And I think yoga was doing that for me, even though I didn't fully understand it. So I think that was always inherent in me, but it was sleeping, mm-hmm. you know? So I think there's an element of that, you know, like I have a client right now who just went from a Rahu period to a Jupiter period. And it was a big transition for her because Rahu was sleeping in a lot of her sub charts and Jupiter is wide awake, like in her spiritual chart. So she had this like spiritual awakening,
right.
You know? So you can see that in the chart. It's very powerful sometimes when we hit these transitions, but it's sleeping. So it's still there and it's going to fruit. The karma will fruit.
So it might be very beneficial to know for yourself, like if you're in a transition, maybe, you know, like if you're going from Rahu to Jupiter is a massive difference.
Ava can know. Yeah. She's going through that now.
From Rahu to Jupiter. And it's like, wow, I'm really catching up on a lot of stuff. Like, whoa.
Yeah. And you have an exalted Jupiter, right? And Rahu's across from it. So you have, it's like the flavor still there. Having it on the nodes, but it is a strong planet inherently. It's in your first house. So there's an element of like strength there, you know, doubly strong. So it's going to be slightly disturbed by the nodes, but it's more like in charge of the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
They were actually both like transitioning. You just went into the Jupiter period. I'm now like finishing my 19-year Venus cycle, which, also gave me a lot, you know, when you said that sometimes you do something or what we talked about in the chart that is maybe your job, but it's not really what makes you happy. You know, I had a very good corporate job, but I always felt it was this nagging feeling inside, you know, this doesn't give me satisfaction. It gives me a lot of materialism, what Venus does, and a lot of wealth, but not necessarily like happiness or like joy, doesn't bring joy to my heart. Mm-hmm. And then I also, then life decided, okay, so then, we're going to give you a hard out. So that was the period of my burnout. Then that was really a turning point for me, or like a spiritual awakening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think, I mean, to respond to that, I think Dharma doesn't always equate to monetary success, but I do believe if you do your Dharma, the money will come. Like if you think about somebody like Mother Teresa, she didn't have a lot of needs materially, but she did want to support all of those living beings who were suffering, right? So the money had to come from somewhere. She had a mission, right? So she was willing to be seen and do the work that she was meant to do in the world, and the money came and supported the organization. So it's not always so like 1 + 1 = 2, but I think it's, you know, my belief is that we all are abundant beings and we deserve to thrive. And that looks most likely like more money than most spiritual people think they should be earning, you know. They're always like, oh, I can get by with so little because I don't need anything, you know. But like, I think we all need to get a little bit bigger and expect a little bit more because we have been doing the work of our spiritual practice. And I think we have a lot to give back. You know, in monetary terms, money is power, right? And if we are making money and we're making more than we need, we can give back to organizations and people who need it.
Yeah. So you're a great teacher for that. Yeah. To follow because there's a lot of that going on in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Just like you said, I don't need it because maybe people think it's not auspicious to make money with like spiritual things or the things that you're good at. But I think it's very valuable what you just said, that you're then also in a place that you have that security for yourself and that you also can give back again. Yeah. And also we invest a lot. in our personal and spiritual development. Yeah.
Right. So, and it has value.
Yeah.
And if, for example, because I do know people who have lots of money struggles, like they can't seem to find this flow of income. Is this maybe a sign that you're not on the right path, or maybe there are like blockages in the chart, or how can you translate this perhaps?
I mean, there are usually blockages around the mind, you know, around the moon or even Mercury, because Mercury is the planet of business. So it could be either one. But I think more to the point, we've been trained culturally to expect less and to work more and, you know, to be small, to hide our gifts and our light. Like there's a lot of shaming that goes on. So we literally have to decondition ourselves every single day. So what I find with spiritual people is they're kind of hiding out in their spiritual life. And this is what happened to me. Like I was doing all these long meditation retreats, and during one of them, I got this really clear message, like, go back into the world.
Yeah.
And I knew I still had a desire to have a farm. I wanted to be in partnership. And so like, I wasn't going to get that sitting silently up in the Himalaya, you know? And so I was sort of like, okay, I guess that would actually be the hardest thing I could do right now is actually go back, because I'm not making enough money and I would literally have to figure that out, you know? And so I couldn't hide anymore. I had to really work on some parts of myself that were in scarcity mindset around money, and that were like things I had heard my mother say, and the way that my dad related to money, and all of those different things had to be worked on. It was very powerful sadhana, actually.
Yeah.
So I think everybody needs that. Like everybody needs to look at the way they relate to money, the thoughts they have around money. They really need to engage with that, because money does, for better or for worse, rule the world. And if we aren't engaging in it, and we are a householder, we're living in a in the world, we have to take care of our needs. We have to be responsible for the people that we're responsible for, you know? And so it's just part of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then for our listeners at home, because a lot of people are new to Jyotish or Vedic astrology, you said before that when you look at career, you look at like the 7th house and the 10th house and 2 and 11. And then you say when these are good houses. So what would you like, how would you explain for our listeners what is like a good house, or which house is maybe more challenging? What is then, what planets and what aspects are you looking for?
So when I say well-placed, I think that, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So like when a house is well-placed, it means that it's not afflicted by a negative or malefic planet. It has a strong positive planet in it. Ideally does not own a negative house. So the negative houses are 6, 8, and 12. So it's hard. It's a really high bar to set for a house to have no affliction. Mm-hmm. So most of the time there's just a bunch of different things happening, right? And so a Jyotishi's job is to kind of untie all those different pieces and see where the confluence is, see where the timing's happening, and kind of give the person a sense of what could happen during that time. And what remedies to use if there are some difficulties around money. For example, I'm like thinking of the second house because it's one of my favorites, because that's where my Saturn is. So when you have some kind of affliction there, which is for earned income, what you're thinking about is the throat. How do we open up the throat? How do we speak our truth? How do we clear some of the blockages? Because for example, when you have Saturn here, you generally close up and you get scared and you don't want to speak your truth and you feel oppressed by other people, you know, expectations they have, and you're trying to micromanage, you know, it's like you get really constricted. If you have Mars here, you may tend to just say things and blurt things out and disturb people. You know, people may just feel like whatever you say hurts their feelings like all the time. So these are things having to do with the throat. And dealing with that fundamentally, which I've done by doing a lot of chanting, that's really my main practice. And it helps me open up my throat. It's helped me to be able to like sing in public, which used to terrify me. You know, different things like that actually has a resonance with being able to hold on to your income and earn income. Those two things are related. So I don't know if that really answers your question. I felt like we should give an example, but
no, that's a great example. Yeah. To also work with I think a lot of people, because sometimes people also ask us when we do readings, oh, like, is that bad? Or do I have like a wrong chart or whatever? And we say, no, everyone has the right chart or the vehicle to navigate through this life. But it's also just very valuable to know. And I think these examples make it very clear how you can work with a planet instead of against it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And any planet can give. Yeah. All planets give. Even Saturn, you know, we haven't talked much about Saturn. Saturn is the main planet of karma, and it's the slowest mover in the Vedic planetary system. And so it can delay things. That's its nature, but it will give. You know, if you have a well-placed Saturn, meaning it's strong, maybe it's in the seventh house, which is a strong location for it. Maybe it's retrograde. You know, a lot of people talk about retrograde, but it's just a raw strength. So if all of those elements are in place, it will give, but you'll have to digest the intensity of having that kind of Saturn, especially if it's in the seventh and it's aspecting onto your first house. It's like your personality gets impacted by that. And it's the possibility for creating like an entrepreneurial thing around systems and structures and, you know, manufacturing, like those kinds of things could be great for you as well.
Because also the planets, they represent different types of interests and career, right? So they can really tell you, like, even the conjunctions, they tell you like what corner or jobs might be suitable for you.
Definitely. Yeah. So like, you know, when we see Mars in a good placement, that often can mean working with the body. So I see a lot of yoga teachers, you know, and they have a really strong or nicely placed Mars. It could also mean that you are in the medical profession, or having Saturn in the sixth often is a clue that somebody might have something to do with the medical profession, because you're helping those people who are less privileged or who are ill, you know what I mean, or elderly. Mercury is relating to numbers, you know, so you can see if somebody's going to be really good with numbers. If you've got all the benefics and good houses, then having a creative career. You know, so there's different combinations, which we haven't talked about, but it's really important when we talk about timing that we see that the planets that are activated are relating to each other in positive ways, so that that can help fructify positive karmas, you know, and bring you into your career. Like when you have a really strong combination of positive planets and they're all activated, then it may be easier for you, you know, to move into your career, to make money, all of those things.
And what do you mean by activated for our listeners?
So when we're in a period of timing, so we call it the Vimshottari Dasha. Not everybody uses the system, but it's the most popular in Vedic astrology for finding timing. So when you're born, your moon is placed in a very specific place in the sky. That placement determines where you start in the cycle. The cycle moves to the same planetary order. So everybody's in the cycle somewhere, right? And that determines what active planet is activated then. And based on that, then we can kind of get a sense of the timing. And this is something that, as far as I know, Western astrology doesn't have. So they're not doing this kind of precise look at what's actually happening in time, which is so important, because if you see a chart where there's beautiful combinations, but they don't get activated, then the chart is not ready to fructify the karma. And I found this really interesting. I talked to Dr. Sabot about this once. Like, there was a musician who died of AIDS in like the late 90s. And he became very popular about 10 years later. And I was like, do you think that his chart, like combination, like later in his life, was there to really fructify the karma? And he was like, absolutely. That's what happened. Wow. Like, you know, so even after we die, our legacy, like we could be posthumously, you know, famous based on what we did, just because we didn't have those combinations in our chart at the time. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, that is exactly also what just blows our mind when studying Vedic astrology. We're still like digesting the fundamentals, but we sometimes we have the sneak peeks of the dashas also when our teacher like does readings. And people also then look at us, they're like, what are you talking about? Different chapters of this book, and you can see what is being activated. And then that in combination also with the subcharts, because that is also something I think that is really unique to Jyotish. And also that there are also charts to look at your career and your dharma, right?
Yeah. Subcharts. And the yogas, the combinations of the planets, which are called yogas, to make things confusing for people who are new. But those are unique as well. And that's, you know, my teacher's always like, look at the first lord and the first house, and then look at the yogas before you look at anything else. Like, what is the condition of the first lord? Meaning you. So the first house is so important because it's like your personality. It's how you show up in the world. If you have Saturn aspecting it, you may have a lot of fear, or you may have a lot of responsibility, right? So these are things that we look at, because that will play into how you show up. You know, and then next is we look at the moon, right? So we look at the yogas after the first house, and then we look at the moon, like what's the condition of the moon, because that's our mind and that's how we project outward. So these are like the three things that we're always doing, and that then impacts the next thing would be the specific subject. If it's the career or money, right? Then we add in that other information that we know about the first lord and the moon. Like, is this person going to be stable mentally so that they can receive what it says here that they can receive, or like, will they have the ojas, the like personal vitality to be able to like do the work that would be needed to remediate where there's needing for that? Like, these are all the things that you're taking into consideration.
It's so expansive, right? Just like the universe.
Yeah, it's so big. Like, I also heard that, for example, you have to look at the relationship between the 10th and the 7th house, because 7th house is relationships. So you have to see, like, you can have a great 10th house, but if the 7th house is really weak or afflicted, then, you know, it's the people you're dealing with.
Right. And then, you might end up dealing with, you know, lawsuits and you know, difficult personalities, definitely. But there's always remedies, you know, and I think that's important to remember. Like, I'm not a kind of dire predictor of things. Like, in India, you find a lot of, like mostly men doing Jyotish, and they're very surgical. They don't have a good bedside manner, in my opinion. They're very like, you will not have children, and this will, you know, and I have people who come to me after that and are just kind of traumatized because they've taken the word of another human being as more important than their own understanding of themselves. And I like to give people a lot of hope, because why are you seeing your chart? Why are you getting the help of a Jyotishi? Because there's hope, because we are changing beings. And like, most Jyotishis should also be looking at a chart of the moment when the person comes to you to kind of understand what has changed in their life. Because I've seen charts of a lot of people over the age of 60, and so much has changed in their life. And maybe their chart looks like a disaster, but that's been the invitation for them to do the work. And they've done a lot of it. And those things that you see there don't affect them in the same way anymore, because they've really worked on it. So I think it's important to remember that there's always remedies. If you have a desire deep within you to build a successful business, but you have some affliction of the 7th house, work with it. Work with it. Get a remedy. Be really diligent. Show up, especially if it's a Saturn thing. You know, just choose something that you'll do every Saturday, like the Hanuman Chalisa. Every Saturday at 9 a.m., do the Hanuman Chalisa for like 108 weekends, you know, every Saturday. And then just keep your head down and do it. And like, you know, set the intention that it's going to be to help relieve some of the constriction that Saturn is placing on you. So it's just about working with a remedy skillfully and inviting that co-creation, because that's what we're doing. And if it's not meant for you, also being willing to let go and say, like, I need you to open the next door because I don't really know what to do. Like, I always tell my clients, talk to the universe, like, you know, tell it, I need, like, I'm 5 years old. Tell me what to do. Like, I'm an innocent child and I don't understand what's going on, because I need it to be that clear.
Because what we also experienced in your courses, you work a lot with remedies indeed. So we build the altar with the green, you know, with the green and Ganesh and all the little details.
The elements.
Exactly. But maybe for a lot of Westerners, it can be like another world. Like, okay, what kind of remedies and how does this work? And why is my food related to Saturn or, you know, it's
singing mantras, yeah, getting too esoteric. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of them are esoteric. And some of them are more practical. And so you just have to meet people where they're at. Like if somebody has a Mars affliction and you say, give blood, that may make total sense to them. They'll just be like, okay, I'll go give blood. Like that's something that they do, right? If you tell them to like take some red fabric and put fennel in it and put it under their pillow, they may do it, but they'll be like, what is this about? You know, and if their mind isn't like, I am faithfully going to try this, they shouldn't be given that remedy. My teacher said it's actually a bad karma to give a remedy to someone who doesn't use it. Right. You know, so you have to also assess the person's readiness for the remedy.
Yeah, and to really meet them where they are. Yeah.
What has been a great remedy for you, for example?
Oh my gosh, the Hanuman Chalisa is my favorite. Oh. That's what I go back to always. Like if I'm feeling the constriction of Saturn or, you know, this past Ancestor Fortnight, I don't know when this will run, but we just had the Ancestor Fortnight before we were recording and it was really hard. Mm. So just going back to my chanting, I'm studying the Rudram with my teacher, Shantala Sriramaya, who's based in Belgium, actually.
Okay.
And she's got a courses online, but this is her year-long course. And it's like this long, beautiful hymn to Shiva from the Vedas that we're singing. So I was going back to that and just kind of grounding myself in that wisdom, in that the power of this ancient, you know, language that was made to help us heal.
Beautiful. Yeah. So we also wanted to talk about your program, your magnetic blueprint. So can you share a little bit more about that for our listeners and also how you, through that program, help people build a successful business?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So your magnetic blueprint is my 8-week accelerator for spiritual entrepreneurs, creatives, guides. Basically, it's the foundational things that help us with these mindset issues, help us specifically work with Saturn because we create a budget and it's for you. It's literally an envelope system so that you can know what's happening with your money. And the Saturn loves this. When we have this kind of diligence, that's a great way to realign ourselves with him in an appropriate way and get him to kind of stop blocking us. Cause it pretty much anywhere in the chart, he's going to block something important in the chart. So you have to deal with Saturn first.
Yeah. You better befriend him. Yeah.
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 So we also like cast a vision. So that's really my Jupiter energy, like understanding where we're going, why we do what we do, who we want to be serving, like all those kinds of questions. And we work on those limiting beliefs that come up, which inevitably they do. This is very deep work, you know? So I give people tools to actually work through those mindset blocks. And then we talk about messaging, which is the domain of Mercury. We talk about, you know, essentially who you are, how you show up in the world, how you're talking to people, how you're calling in your ideal clients. And then the final step is creating an offer that's going to be transformational for those folks. And so I help people, like my goal is for people to come out of that program and have an offer that they can go and sell. So yeah, it's kind of transformational. I've had about 60 people complete the program. I have another group in the program now. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it like 2 to 3 times a year right now. So I'm looking at kind of revamping it and putting more hands-on support in there. And so there's changes happening behind the scenes, but these are all the things I wish I had right away to just focus on. Cause I was really asking myself, like, how did I have so much success? Like, what were the keys? Cause I literally was making like just at the poverty line when I came back from India and I had to figure out how to make money. And I really, really applied myself to that for a number of years. And then it just hit like that. And I was doing a lot of these things. So I combined them in this course because my goal is to help 1,000 spiritual entrepreneurs make more money and impact. And so they can give back from their overflow. And so I'm like okay, let's do this. Let's get in the container and let's like amplify what you're doing well and like figure out how to make things more easeful for you.
Are there some topics that you see happen a lot with people? Like, again, this pattern or?
Yeah, confidence, feeling, you know, shy around visibility in social media.
Yeah.
Not sure what to share about themselves. Like, these are things that come up a lot. And I actually am thinking about creating a whole other program just about social media because I think it's needed. Because those things come up a lot. And then also niching, like getting really clear about who you're serving and how. And that's really hard for people because they don't want to, most spiritual entrepreneurs are too general. They're talking to too wide of an audience because they're afraid that they're going to leave someone out or, you know, I see that a lot. And also with pricing, they lower their price because they want everybody to be able to do it. And so my whole thing is that it's hard for someone to get an actual transformation unless they identify themselves clearly in your offering. And then the offering is really transformative. And that usually requires a higher price point because it's multifaceted.
Yeah.
So that's powerful work that we do inside that container. Usually people bring that up and we talk about it a lot.
Yeah. And it's like almost like a very deep sessions, you know, it's not just planetary stuff, but really the deep personal stuff that comes up as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And I work one-on-one with clients as well. And it's similar, you know, these are people who already have had some success. Maybe they're getting some clients or they have clear vision or they have a lot of training. I get people who have so many certifications and I'm like, let's activate, like, let's create something where people can step in with you and your wisdom will just like surround them with love and care. Right. And then they'll have a huge transformation. So I really help people identify how to do that. I love my job.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like a really inspirational place to be in also. Because it teaches you a lot as well, I guess.
It does. And it's interesting to me because I have niched myself and it's an ongoing thing, you know, but I'll get people who come into my container who aren't exactly what I had niched to because they just liked my energy and they wanted my help and they felt intuitively like I was the one to help them. And it's exciting for me because I'm like, you know, I'm working with somebody who is actually like a hands-on person who work, you know, who has a business in the world, an established business, and they're selling a product. And so it's kind of interesting to work on that because I'm used to working with like service providers or people who are healers or whatever. So it's interesting because I'm like showing him how to find all this money that he's kind of left on the table. And you know, in his business, like creating new offerings within the business structure that are going to save him time and eliminate like negative interactions with clients because it's a charged for thing. Like, so it's really fun to kind of see how that all translates. I think I just have like a sense for business. I don't know. So I might have to like expand and, you know,
we've noticed.
People with.
Yeah. And I think it's also so nice. And I think we noticed that in our readings too, even though we're not studying for that long, that you can empower someone with knowledge, you know, like a deeper understanding of themselves, or that they just get something confirmed that they already feel from deep down, you know, just give them a little bit of guidance on their path, or like a
And often it's you know, maybe it they come in for a career or something, but in the end everything always comes back to you. It's who you are in this world. And I think that's very interesting to really see that blueprint of who you are when you came into this world. And then the dashas and
And stepping more into it and like owning it, you know, it's like, instead of like kind of not knowing and pushing aside parts of ourselves, it's like, oh yeah, I have this tendency to constrict in this certain way. And like, all I have to do is remember so that I can acknowledge it and like shift the energy if necessary.
Well, it's maybe also a cool story to share with our listeners. We haven't shared this before, but we were talking with each other like about like asking Dr. Robert Sobota and you for the podcast. And then we also went into this, we're too small, limiting belief. And they were like, no, we're just going to write an email. We're going to send it out on Jupiter Day. We're going to sing a mantra before we send the email, you know, hit like send. So that was actually very cool also, Nai, to become aware of that and then also use the energy and the wisdom of the teachings and the planets, you know, to just go for it and see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's all those tools. And then there's also like being creative about your approach to somebody and like talking about something you know they'd be interested in, right? Yeah. Like inviting them to talk about a topic that you know that they can't resist. They want to talk about it. So like there's all these different ways of getting your foot in the door. Nobody's too small for anything, you know, like we're all here to do something. If it's meant to be, it'll happen, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we thought that too, you know, if it's meant to be, then it will happen. And maybe not now, maybe later, you know? Yeah. So, that's the great lesson of Saturn.
Yeah.
He doesn't deny, he delays.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
So now, of course, we're also very curious if you're up for it and maybe also a nice little preview for our listeners, because we send you our charts too, and not to go through the entire program. Of course, we understand that. But if there are things that you notice or that stand out.
Because many people work together. So you have lots of work and what is the compatibility?
That's also interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So compatibility is not just for relationships. That's what most people do in India. They're looking to see if two people can get married, right? But I actually look a lot with my clients, my one-on-one clients, you know, if they're hiring someone, we'll look at that person's chart, or if they're having inter-team dynamics that they want to work on, then I'll take everybody's chart and do an analysis, you know. So I didn't do like a heavy analysis for you all because you just sent me your charts like yesterday. It usually would take me a little more time if I was going to prepare, but you both are Cancer rising. So that already is a huge thing because you're looking at the world in a similar way. You know, it's very harmonious to be aligned in that way. Like I did an interview with somebody who's also Leo rising for my podcast, and we were just like having a good time, you know, because we're both Leos. So there's something about that in work too. Like if you're both the same rising sign, you really have the same perspective or, you know, can see things in a similar way and be really aligned. So that's the first thing I noticed. The second thing is that you both have active planets on the nodal axis, you know, and like you still will, you move to sun, you'll still have that sun on the nodal axis. So what that means is there could be quick changes in the nature of the business, could move up, you know, could get really big, could, you know, have an expense here and there, like there could be changes, but also that you both have in general an innovative perspective, that you're going to do things in a different way that than are expected. And maybe that'll rub some people the wrong way because it has that element of the nodes, which is revolutionary in certain ways. And sometimes we don't think that what we're seeing is revolutionary because we're stepping to it. But it will shake some people and their reaction will be to react instead of to say, oh, wow, this is triggering me. Why is this triggering me? You know, most people don't do that, you know, so you like both
they're
have
crazy.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely better that you both have that because it would be hard if one of you were like trying to innovate and the other one was trying to stay the same, you know? So that I would say is the biggest thing that I noticed. Also that, you know, I don't know what your full business is because we didn't talk about it, but the fact that you're both podcasting, you have, you know, interesting things going on with the third house that make me think that's a really good thing for you to be doing. So both of you have combinations or planetary positions and things that I think support that. So it makes sense that you both would want to do a podcast together.
Yeah. We actually have very different careers. Huh?
Yeah.
We were, was not like a friendship blind date, but a mutual friend of ours. She said, you should have coffee together because I think you have a lot of things in common. And then Ava was, you just started studying Ayurveda. And I just finished my yoga teacher training after I came from the corporate world. So I coach, I organize retreats. I do a lot of with yoga nidra, lucid dreaming. So when we got together, we were like talking, I think, for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then I think that same year or the next year, we started studying Jyotish together. Yeah. And that's when we like almost like symbiosis, you know, because there are not a lot of people around us who understand this. And then because it gave us so many beautiful lessons, and we really wanted to bring it into the world in a more practical way so that people also, yeah, like bring it down to earth so it can also really help people and they feel that they can actually do mm-hmm. something with it. There's where that Cosmic Cocktails actually was born to combine mm-hmm. all these interests and translate it and
yeah.
To help people navigate through all tastes of life and also with a little bit of humor sometimes, you know, zooming out and just sometimes just laughing really hard at yourself.
Well, I mean, just as you're talking, I'm like, oh, your suns and your moons are so nicely aligned. They're in a 9, a 5-9. So in the triangle. So that's a really harmonious placement for understanding both externally and internally, having an emotional connection, but also having like a we can do things in the world together kind of connection.
Yeah. And it's also sometimes we laugh about each other because I'm a Saturn Atma Karaka and she's Mars. So you sometimes literally see these different qualities, like me, like slowing down everything. I'm not sure. And then she's like super fired up and like annoyed by my slowness.
Yeah. And her Mars is with Saturn. So that's like the story of her life. So to have someone she's working with, it's like you're activating that sense within her of like her own reality, you know, and it's in the fourth house, which is so deep. And so it touches on something ancestral and like deep within our subconscious.
The ancestor fortnight was a big one for me. Yeah.
See, but that's the thing that's interesting is Saturn is very strong in your chart as well. So, you know, digesting is necessary, but once it's digested, it has this majestic power, you know, so it's totally normal with Saturn aspecting on the 10th with a strong Saturn that you would have one career and then you'd be like, oh, I don't know, I'm tired, I'm burned out, I want another career, right? There's an element of that. So, and Jupiter, of course, is aspecting onto the 10th, which is usually an indication of multiple careers. So it makes sense.
It's so fun we could look at like charts like forever, you know, and we have so much fun also with it. And then if you talk about digesting, sometimes we even like see people on the street and we like see the planets, you know.
Yeah, I do too. I know, I have to turn it off actually.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people are talking, I'm like, okay, there's a Saturn affliction here. I can feel it. It's like a fourth house. I feel it. It's like in the fourth house, you know, and I have to just be like, okay, let them do their thing, you know, because I don't know if you know about human design, but I'm also a projector in human design. I know it's based on the tropical, but it works really well for me. That understanding really has helped me manage my energy. And once I started following my, my whatever it's called, what you're supposed to be doing as a projector, things opened up and got really easy in my life. So I've listened to that, but also it means that I'm a guide and I can kind of see through people. And I've been that way since I was a kid. So having that sense of like the planets now as the lens, I'm just like, oh my gosh, sometimes you're watching people like spiral into their karma and you're like, I just have to look away. Nothing I can do. They're not asking for my help, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I totally feel you. Yeah. So is there a last tip maybe that you want to give us if you look at our chart and maybe that's also like inspiring or it spikes some curiosity for our listeners to contact you for your program?
Well, I would say, you know, it's a double-edged sword having an active planet on the nodes. It's just always good to do your practices in the morning to reconnect yourself to the earth as the nodes are, you know, in the mythology, it's like a dragon without a head and a head with no body, right? And so there's this way that we, you know, with Rahu, which is just the head, things go in and they keep going out and they don't get grounded in the system. And without a head, there's nothing to take in any nourishment. And it's just like a nullification or even like a nihilism, like a disinterest in reality, you know? So these are very disturbing planetary elements, and it's always good to rest more, take really good care of yourself, move more slowly. Don't make quick decisions. Like Dr. Svoboda always says, if you are under the influence of Rahu and you want to do something, wait a day. If you really want to do something, wait a week. If you really, really want to do something, wait a month or a year. So usually that's a pretty good thing, because if you wait, then you're like, oh, wait, why did I care about that? Like Rahu will make it feel so important so necessary to do right now. And usually that is not a good idea. Most of the time it will result in, you know, because Rahu's about craving. It's about just like trying to fill a void that can't be filled. And so having planets debated on that nodal axis, it just means there may be more craving, and it may be that you make peace with the craving and understand that even if you got the thing that you want, it may not actually fulfill you. So how can you just be here in this moment and just like understanding that that influence is there? So anybody who's afflicted by the nodes can take that same advice.
Well, yeah. We know quite a few people.
Yeah. And I think we have a love hate relationship with Rahu, right? Yeah. We love him and sometimes we hate him.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm under the influence of Rahu, I stop drinking coffee. That's one of the main things that I do, because it just increases Vata. Very disturbing fundamentally.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so interesting and so insightful again. And also really
for having me.
Yeah, it was really nice to hear your personal story as well.
Yeah.
To where you went through and the decisions and the planetary influences and
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So where can people find you?
So my website is weaveyourbliss.com, and I'm on Instagram at weaveyourbliss. I have a Facebook group. If you're a spiritual entrepreneur, it's called Weave Your Business Bliss. So they're all kind of on the same few words. And there I go live every once in a while and share tips on business and astrology. I have a newsletter on my website where I regularly share information about business and astrology and how to make sense of the current astrology in your business. So, yeah.
And you also have a podcast, right?
I do have a podcast that's also called Weave Your Bliss. Where I basically interview people who I think are living in their purpose and talk to them. And then I also do solo podcasts on different astrology and business ideas and stories and different things.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we can definitely recommend listening to Paula's podcast and signing up for the newsletter, because it's very juicy content. So,
thank you.
Yeah. to nourish your ojas a little bit.
Especially thank you.
Vata season. Yeah. In the Netherlands, then we are moving into Vata season here. Yeah.
It's the same here. That's why I'm wearing a hat and a coat, because I'm in
It's cozy though.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Paula.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. Are you feeling lost in space? Book your consultation now to find out more about your astral passport and unique cosmic X-ray. Also, feel free to send us suggestions or questions anytime through Instagram or email. Or keep on spacing in this wonderful universe just a little bit longer. I'll take a break to another dimension. See you the next one.